Hi, I'm Susie Larson. Here's the podcast for Live the Promise. Enjoy the conversation. Good afternoon. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. Really glad you tuned in today, because I know this is one of your favorite segments. We call it Health and Healing with Dr. Troy. Dr. Troy Spurl of Synapse Center for Health and Healing. He's the founder and the owner and the president, CEO of Synapse, and it's located in Eagan, Minnesota. He joins us once a month. We're always so honored to have him with us to answer your questions, because we are both very passionate about your health, really want to see you flourish. I believe what Scripture says. When Jesus says, I came that you have life and life abundantly, I mean, that abundance is, you know, multifaceted. It's soul health, it's spirit redemption, but I also think it involves our physical health, that God wants us to flourish. God wants us well, and we need to cooperate with him in that regard. So if you've got questions today, you can even call anonymously. The phone lines are open, 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. And last hour, Doc, anonymous male called, and he says, people who have hormonal imbalances, I have a question about that. He said, my wife has PCOS, and it's affecting our marriage and the outlook she has. Any advice you can offer? What do you say?
Yes, definitely. So before I get to that question, though, something just popped in my head for Kathy, and I'm hoping she's still listening, for osteoporosis.
All right.
I wanted to just mention, if her vitamin D is normal or close to normal, which should be close to 80 to 100, it's important for her to also be taking betaine hydrochloric acid. So we want to make sure that the stomach acid is high, so the body burden of acid is low. So take betaine hydrochloric acid with each meal. That'll improve your absorption of calcium and key minerals that help with the bone formation. So that's another part of it. So if you get a lab done and your total protein levels are either too high or too low, that's a good indicator for hydrochloric acid insufficiency. You want those numbers to be between 6.9 and 7.7 milligrams per deciliter. And so if that is out of that range and it's the total protein, most of the times it's done on a standard lab panel. Just take a look at your old labs, and if it's outside of that range, then you've got a problem with your total protein, and start taking hydrochloric acid. Also, if you eat meat, especially steak, and you find that it kind of sticks in your stomach and your gut there, and you don't digest it properly, that's a sign you're also deficient. Mm. So as we age and you go through hormonal changes, that's one thing that declines, is the stomach acid. So that's crucial for the osteoporosis.
Interesting. Okay, back to this one. This man called, said, my wife has PCOS, and it's affecting marriage. It's a hormonal imbalance. It's affecting marriage and her outlook on life. What do you say?
Yeah, so PCOS is very, very challenging. So there's a lot of factors here that have to be addressed properly. So it's not just a one lane type of thing where you take one pill and you're good. You have to make sure your estrogen is balanced, so that there is estrogen dominance. What that means is your body's going to be making either too much estrogen, or the estrogen that you have is dominating over the other hormones in your body. That includes progesterone, that includes cortisol, that includes insulin. And so what we want to see is estrogen being detoxed from the body. There are many different estrogen detoxes, but generally speaking, a plant-based diet will help pull the estrogens out. Now, this will take 9 to 12 months. It's not a quick fix. The other thing is you have to make sure that you're having regular bowel movements. And with PCOS in the beginning, I always encourage people to take extra magnesium to induce 3 to 5 bowel movements a day. Now, that sounds like a lot, but it's needed, because if there's any level of constipation, or even if you're only having one bowel movement a day, you're going to be recycling the estrogen that's in there. That recycling of estrogen is enough to constantly keep you in a PCOS type state. It'll also affect your insulin, like we said, so you have to balance your insulin. For some women, they can just do a product like Insinase from Metagenics. The diet we just mentioned will help take care of balanced blood sugar, but you want to make your insulin more sensitive. So a product like Insinase works really well. And avoiding the sugars that go along with the cravings is very crucial. Physical exercise is good. It's needed to, if you can get some actual muscle work in there, some weight-bearing exercises, but it's not, you don't do more. More is not better. So, because that's one of the frustrations with PCOS. You'll exercise and you'll actually put on more weight from the exercising. So you want to make sure you're doing more of stimulating and exercising the muscles to really help them use the sugar properly and manage that insulin. Then finally, it's really important to start to work on the brain side of it. Stress is always a factor with this because of the hormonal imbalances. So you'll find that maybe when he's saying it's affecting our marriage, what we usually see is that there is an impact centrally in the brain. And so there can be emotional swings. There can be taking on of excessive stressors. And so there's a great herbal called ashwagandha that really helps to promote more of a restful state of mind in this process. And there are different products out there. We like one called Adaptocrine from Apex Energetics, and there's one called Cortisol from Zymogen. These different products will help to regulate the hormones or help the brain regulate the hormones and eventually get some stabilizing of the emotions as well. And a lot of times you have to do other things that help with that. It is a long process, but what happens is eventually you can break that cycle. Now, occasionally it is so hardwired that we have to kind of shock the brain a little bit, and we do what's called an HCG program with hormones that help to regulate or reset that area of the brain. It's a temporary program, but it'll actually make the brain more aware of the problems. And like everything else, inflammation and toxicity become a part of the conversation. So identifying if there's any chemicals that are contributing to it, because when we have PCOS, polycystic ovarian syndrome, cysts are formed to basically isolate something the body thinks is toxic. So we have to identify, make sure there's no chemicals that are mimicking estrogen. That comes from a lot of pesticides in particular. And exposure to pesticides can be a big problem with that. And then there's other scenarios where it came from actually birth control, estrogen pills, things like that. So we have to identify what the chemicals are as part of it. But doing an estrogen cleanse, that'll slowly clean those things out with that good high greens diet. And so stick with that. It'll take a while. Just have to hang in there. 9 to 12 months will get you a good start. And there are ways you can, if you work with a functional medicine practitioner, there are ways that they can measure through blood work how you're progressing.
Wow. So that's hopeful, friend. There's hope for your wife and for you. And, you know, I don't know that everybody would benefit from this. I'd love for you to answer that question. But it seems like most people would benefit from, at least for a season, get gluten, dairy, soy, corn, get that junk out of your diet, eat lots of vegetables, some fruits, proteins, and nuts, and just do that for a while. I would imagine for many people, they would probably, it would eliminate a lot of the aches, pains, and just sluggishness they feel.
Absolutely. And if it doesn't, it means something else is going on. Something else is either causing inflammation, or there's infection, or hormone, or there's toxicity. There's not much else beyond that.
Wow, interesting. And did you notice I brought that up and I was right about it? So just give me a pause
job,
for a minute.
Dr. Susie.
Thank you so much. All right, we got Susan checking in from Eden Prairie with a question. Hey, Susan, you're on the air with Dr. Troy.
Hi. I have a son who has his skin is more blackened under his armpits and on his elbows. And we saw a doctor and he said it's kind of like a pre-diabetes sign because he's got the thickened skin on the back of his neck also. And I don't know, is there, you know, foods that he shouldn't be eating, that he should be eating something different? And all we got was he put him on, I think it's called fentanyl, to lose weight. And that's the only answer we got so far.
And so is it confirmed diabetes as far as the blood sugar and insulin?
No. Last time we had him tested, his sugars were fine. But it's been like 3 years now, and his armpits are just like more blackened. And I'm like, that's just not normal. And we really haven't gotten answers. So I don't know, like, should I be more concerned or it really isn't a big deal? And his elbows, too, are really blackened. And I'm more concerned, but.
Yeah, no, there's something going on there. So just to make sure, because it does sound like a blood sugar insulin scenario, but there are a few other things that might be causing that as well. So if the blood sugar is okay, that's one thing. Hemoglobin A1C also needs to be okay. And then the insulin levels. So all three of those have to be okay. If there's weight loss that's needed, then there can be a problem with some liver congestion secondary to estrogen metabolism. So if there's weight that needs to be lost a lot, especially in men, they'll produce so much extra estrogen. So not a lot of people know this, but fat in men, the cells actually create estrogen. Estrogen starts to throw off a lot of the other scenarios in the body. And then that estrogen will actually start to congest the liver system. And I've seen a couple cases where that has set up discoloration. Usually it's more like a copper type of a color versus pure black. Black is really unusual.
Yeah, his is more blackened.
Yeah.
And he's only 21, and this has been like 3 years.
Yeah, so I think I'd actually probably need a little bit more information before I can give you specifics on that. But it sounds to me like there's something in the hormone infection arena that needs to be addressed. I'm missing some information that can give me the answer that I need.
Okay, so is that something I need to go back to the doctor and ask him to check that out? Because I know they did blood work.
Yes.
They did blood work to check his A1C, and that's, you know.
Yeah, there's something else going on there then. So the dots have to be connected. There's something going on there. So definitely follow back up with the doctor and see what their next step would be.
Okay.
Thank you, Susan. God bless you, dear.
Thank you.
We're going to pause here. 877-933-2484. One of the questions that came in that we'll tackle on the other side is it okay to get your wisdom teeth pulled? We got a bunch more, but we'd love to hear from you. The calls will take preferential treatment here. So if you call in, we'll get to your call as best we can. 877-933-2484. We'll be back in a minute. Glad you tuned in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. Have my good friend and Dr. Troy Spurrell in. We get him on once a month. We call it Health and Healing with Dr. Troy. Dr. Spurrell's clinic is located in Eagan, Minnesota. It's called Synapse Center for Health and Healing. And as I said before, people come from all over the country to see Dr. Troy and his team. And he's got an amazing, amazing team. And we're answering your question today. So grateful to chat with you. Let's see. We've got an anonymous friend checking in from Anoka. Thanks for calling. You're on the air with Dr. Troy.
Hi, Dr. Troy and Susie. Thanks for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
I hope I can get this out without crying, but my daughter's been dealing with anorexia for 9 years and very, very ill and in and out of treatment. I'm very familiar with nutritional things, having multiple chemical sensitivities. I've done a lot of things for the last 30 years and just my frustration is in the eating disorder world, it's very medically based, but I just see my daughter just struggling so much with the thinking, and I'm just curious with the brain and the biochemical and nutritional things, if you have found success or any healing in anorexia.
Yes, it's very, very challenging, though, and so what I'll say is the patients we've worked with have to be on board and have to be willing to do the work. And so did you say that you had been suffering with multiple chemical sensitivity as well?
I have been for the last, I mean, that I found out.
Hey, so I'm going to jump in. Can you take yourself off of speakerphone so we don't hear all that background noise? That makes it really hard.
Yeah.
I'm
so sorry. The dog is barking.
That's okay.
Okay, so that's
all. Speaker, it'd be much better.
I got the information I needed there, so thanks for that. When there's a history with the multiple chemical sensitivity in mom, there's a link there between mother and daughter, and leaky gut is very important. So we want to make sure that the leaky gut has been addressed. And also there is a lab test that can be run, an organic acid test through Great Plains Labs. And that will really help to identify the main areas that need to be addressed, because you have to fix the leaky gut. You have to start to restore the brain chemistry that's needed. Now, that starts in the digestive system. So as the anorexia starts to occur, what ends up happening is there's more of a challenge, because you start to actually deprive your system of the amino acids that it needs. So it's all about restoring the digestive system, leaky gut, which will also start the process of restoring the brain itself. That is that's the basis. That's where you have to start. So getting a leaky gut assessment along with an organic acid panel is crucial. So once you have that information, it'll pretty much tell you how to start with the treatment phase of it. And then you support her physically and emotionally through the process, because it's pretty challenging. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of emotional things that go with that. Everything from self-condemnation to worth issues that may not have been there in the beginning that set it up, but because of the chronicity of it can be there afterwards. So a lot of love and support is needed through the process.
Thank you for that call. We've got a couple questions. We've received an email and another call about the book you mentioned, and I just want to reiterate the title, The End of Alzheimer's is the title of the book. But also, you wanted to revisit the call. I see a bunch of calls coming in, but want to do this. One of our previous callers talked about her son who had blackness in his armpits and his elbows, and one doc thought it was diabetes. You wanted to revisit that question.
Well, I just got a message from one of my docs. They must be listening to the show. So So it goes along with what I was talking about with the liver and the congestion in the liver. When that happens, the lymph system gets congested. And so you still want to work on the liver lymph system. But he also mentioned that the dead skin cells will build up on the elbows and knees, and exposure to sunlight will cause them to darken, giving you those dark spots. Mm. It's an inability to actually clear away those dead skin cells. So by improving the liver, improving the lymph system, getting that flowing, losing the weight can help. But also you can do a treatment on the skin to start getting those dead cells off. So you can actually use oils and massaging and doing some skin therapy with skin brushing right on the elbows, and it'll actually start to help.
Yeah, that's amazing. Thank you for that. Okay, Susan's checking in from Fargo with a question for you. Hey, Susan, thanks for holding. You're on the air with Dr. Troy.
Oh, hi, Dr. Troy. My 8-year-old granddaughter, Claire, has very large tonsils. What can she do to avoid having a tonsillectomy?
Ooh, that's a tough one, because the tonsils themselves, in certain individuals, they just form pockets. And so you can go up. So first of all, chiropractic adjustments do help stimulate the nerves that go to the muscles that can help stimulate the muscles in that area. So that alone can sometimes help. Otherwise, you can go in there and actually massage and push the pockets back and try and get them to open up. So you can actually do some therapy with pushing those pockets back. Other things that we've seen as far as drinking salt water and all those other home remedies, we really haven't seen a lot of effectiveness with that. So the other thing is, once they start running and really being active, the muscles start to tighten up and they can start draining properly. So we do see some things effective there. But having said that, many times I will end up referring for the tonsillectomy, because if it's disrupting their sleep at all, which enlarged tonsils can disrupt sleep in a lot of kids and even cause bedwetting. So that's one of the surgeries we will refer for if we're not having success with our treatments. And I have asked many docs out there at conferences if they've got a gem for that, and I haven't heard a good one that's reproducible yet. So I'm still working or actively listening and looking for that one.
Very good. All right, Debbie's checking in from Richfield with a question about vitamin B2. It sounds like, hey, Debbie, you're on the air.
Hi, I appreciate Dr. Troy, and I really will miss you, Susie. My question is, does vitamin K2 help osteoporosis or bone health? You know, I'm a person who has had problems with Fosamax. I went off it. And I know natto, which is a Japanese food, has some K2. I'm going to wait for the answer.
Well, it's a short answer. Yes, absolutely. It can help. So vitamin K2, especially they put a lot of vitamin K with vitamin D as well. And so we do see an improvement with teeth and bones with that. So the answer is absolutely yes.
Mm. Wow. I've misread that B2. Debbie, thank you. Thank you so much for your kind words as well. So we got about 2.5 minutes to our heartbreak at the bottom, and I'll see if we can squeeze this question. And Donna from Fridley wants to know, what's the proper treatment for cradle cap for infants and baby acne on arms and the trunk? And I guess I'd like to know, what's the cause of it?
Yes, great question, because the answer is the same. So cradle cap and then any type of baby acne, I can always tell how the baby is tolerating the food, tolerating nursing by their skin. So cradle cap is pretty common in the beginning, but generally it comes from inflammation from the mom. And so first place to start is foods. Again, the most common cause is foods causing a little inflammation in the mom, and those are the same foods causing inflammation in the baby. And just remember, the skin is a reflection of what's happening on the inside of our immune system, and 60% of our immune system is in the lymph, 40% lines the digestive tract. First thing to do is try and pull out the foods. The most common foods that cause irritation to skin, again, are wheat, dairy, sugar, and corn. And then afterwards, sometimes the kids will even start reacting to like spicy foods or hot peppers. They just can't quite tolerate it as well. Now, if it doesn't seem to matter what food is causing it or setting it up, then a lot of times the stomach is caught up on the diaphragm of the baby. And that can come just from nursing and then crying. And so the stomach can get caught in the diaphragm. If it does, it interferes with the ability to break down the food. The food then stays more in a whole form, or is not broken down effectively. It stays in the lymph system too long, and then you start to see it reflected in the skin. So 90% of the time, those two scenarios will take care of it. And occasionally, there's dysbiosis. So if mom had to be put on antibiotics at any time during the pregnancy or the baby right away, or even just because of other problems with bacteria, probiotics can help. So those are the three places to start to see if the skin clears up.
Very good. All right, when we come back, Erin called in from Apple Valley about a son who has multiple medications for seizures. She wants to know what your thoughts are on that. We'll take your questions as well. 877-93-FAITH. We'll be back in a minute. Glad you tuned in. Thanks for so much for listening. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. It's another edition of Health and Healing with Dr. Troy. Dr. Troy Spurl joins us every month to answer your health questions. So grateful for his time. He is the CEO and founder of Synapse, the Center for Health and Healing, located in Eagan, Minnesota. And we've got the phone screen lighting up. We've got pages and pages of emails. So we have no shortage of questions, but we're doing our best to get to them. We've got Samantha checking in from Daytona Beach, Florida. Samantha, thanks for listening. You're on the air.
Hello. Yes. I'm just calling for a quick note. If that mom with the daughter who's been diagnosed with anorexia is still listening, I just wanted to say I personally have dealt with many similar things to what she was talking about, and there were psychological aspects to it, but it took 5 years of me suffering with it to find the natural doctor who knew what Dr. Troy was talking about, to check for leaky gut and the intestinal health. And as soon as I found the doctor, we checked it out, we found this out, we started working on healing the intestinal permeability, which has to do with leaky gut. I'm sure you probably both know. Meaning basically that your intestinal system has like holes from other things in the past, whatever caused it, whatever caused the leaky gut, you know, have holes. So even if you start to go through treatment, even if you're fixing the psychology, your body, even when you eat, isn't absorbing the food. You're still losing weight. You're still losing nutrients because you're not absorbing. So I just wanted to say, kind of just like super support what the doctor was saying already, to have that checked almost first maybe, because that could be like the whole game changer. For me, healing the intestinal lining was like the one thing I needed to do to get the nutrients to my body, for my brain to not even have the psychological problems and just heal itself by not even changing anything else. So,
oh, Samantha, thank you for that encouragement, for that call. I appreciate it so much. And if I remember, I don't know if it's Harvard, but they came out with an article saying that the brain and the gut could easily be considered one organ because they're so connected. So could you see that, where you'd have someone with an eating disorder and it's this perpetual cycle, but to the point where you don't even know what came first, the chicken or the egg, but the gut is definitely impacting the brain?
Yes, absolutely. And Samantha's bang on there, and thanks for sharing that testimony. I can't tell you how much that helps when patients hear that someone who has gone through it has come through it. That's just so supportive and so helpful, and that helps give that hope, and that just knowing someone has gone through it just helps give some peace of mind as well. So thank you, Samantha, for that.
And what a hopeful testimony when someone's like, I've been there, done that, I'm through it now, you can do this too.
Absolutely.
So Mom, listening for your daughter, we're just pulling for you. All right, we've got Frenchie checking in from Waterloo, and her name just puts me in a good mood. I like that name, Frenchie. You're on the air with Dr. Troy.
Thank you. Hi, Dr. Troy. Hi, Susie.
Hey.
I have a trigger finger that acts up from time to time, and I'm a super healthy eater. I exercise, take vitamins, all of that. And I'm just kind of wondering, is there anything I can do naturally to help this trigger finger?
Yeah, trigger finger there's usually a reason why it's kind of getting stuck like that. And a lot of times it comes from the wrist. So if it comes and goes, then many times what we found is that the swelling in the wrist will kind of deviate the joints a little bit, the muscles pull, and it just pulls on the joint or sets the joint up a little bit differently so that things get stuck, or the nerve gets irritated and causes it to go into spasm. So many times when we adjust the wrist or correct it, you'll actually feel there's tiny little bones in the wrist. So just getting the movement in those bones, or seeing a doctor, a chiropractor who knows how to reset them, is important. But then I'll walk you through some of the things. If it comes and goes, there are different scenarios that can set up that swelling in the wrist. So sometimes entrapment of nerves at the elbow. So if there is tension in muscles at the elbow, you can do stretches to relieve that tension there, put heat on the elbow to actually reduce the trigger finger. That's how you can tell if the heat helps with the trigger finger at the elbow, then you know you've got just too much tension there. We see that with tennis elbow, with golfer's elbow, and we see that with moms carrying new babies. So very important just to check the elbow. Also, because we're on the computer so much, a lot of mousing and keyboarding can set up that same scenario where our forearms get really tight. So just make sure
I'm a hairdresser.
Those... Oh, there it is.
I'm a hairdresser.
Oh, Frenchie, who's a hairdresser. I love that story.
Me too.
So I'm going to say you have to take, because of your profession, you're really going to have to take a strong look at the wrist and the forearms. Now, because of that, too, the shoulders can play a role. So the muscles called the scalenes just above, just on the front side of the neck and above the collarbone, if they're tight as well, you have to loosen those up. And then the last thing, because as a hairdresser, your arms are up over top of the chair quite a bit. And so that position can cause tension in what we call the triangular space, which is in the armpit. But the muscles get tight. So, again, stretching those muscles. Look up the exercise wall angel, and that will also help undo a day's work at the I don't know, what do you call it, parlor? What do you call it, hairdressing salon? Yeah, there it is. And so Kim helped me with that
one.
Yeah. And so
great.
Just work with that first. And then there's one last weird scenario. The ileocecal valve that Susie knows so much about can get triggered from caffeine, sugar, and when it spasms, it causes swelling into your wrists, especially if you're using your arms a lot. So the ileocecal valve is just to the right of the belly button. If it spasms, and it can spasm from sugar, caffeine, alcohol, or even high-fiber foods that are undigested. And so it can be hit or miss, and that can actually set up fluid into the wrist as well. So the stretching scenarios and just making sure that valve is not in spasm will help quite a bit.
Thank you, Frenchie, for that.
Oh, great.
Bless you. Appreciate that. Appreciate the call. So some of you may know this part of my story, but maybe not. But during my third pregnancy, I was on bed rest for 6 months with a 1- and a 3-year-old. That was fun. But about 3 months into the bed rest, my doc let me get up, and because I hadn't been contracting for a couple days. And I met some girlfriends from college in a little town of Stillwater, and we were so careful, went for a walk, had lunch. It was a fall day. And by nighttime, I was contracting back in bed again. 2 weeks from that outing, my face started to go numb. My arms started to go numb. My memory started to do funny things. And long story short, a year later, I found out I was bit by a deer tick, but I was bit during the pregnancy. But when my son, we took us a year to find out, but when he was about several weeks old, he ended up with double pneumonia, went into the hospital, and was on IV for about a week. A year later, when the home health care nurse was setting me up on my IV therapy, he comes running in the bed into the living room, 1 year old, and she's like, "What is he doing alive?" And I said, "What do you mean?" And she said, "Well, it passes through the placenta 100% of the time. Why is he alive?" She said, "I have two other patients I've treated who were bit during the pregnancy, not knowing, just like you, and one baby went blind and the other died. Why is he alive?" And she said, "Has he been on any antibiotic?" And at 4 weeks old, he had been. It's just this amazing story. Well, I've got a family member who just texted me and had a very similar situation. A friend whose daughter had Lyme disease and her son has it too. So it got passed to the son. So now they both have it because she was bit during the pregnancy. So the question is, because Doc, I know you've done a ton of study on Lyme's as of late. What would you do in that scenario? We have a mom and a son. The son was infected by the mom. How do you treat these guys?
Well, this is if it's acute, you do want to do antibiotic therapy. And so this is where antibiotics can really be helpful. And then really testing and making sure that your immune system is healthy. So while you're doing antibiotics to kill off the infection, you want to look at supporting the immune system as well during the same time. So it's more of a conversation of just staying on top of it. If you catch it soon enough, antibiotics are very, very helpful. The longer it goes, the harder it is to do anything with that because the Lyme starts to set up these biofilms, and the biofilms can be tough to work with. Now, with a doctor who's trained, you can actually go through some biofilm busters. But again, a baby does not have the same reserves or immune system capacity that an adult has. So that's why it becomes very, very challenging for them to make it through that process. So you have to just stay on top of it, supporting the immune system with the antibiotics. There are natural antibiotics as well. One of my favorite products is called Biocidin, and it works very, very well. It's more natural. They have a version for kids, especially infants, that you can start to give them lower doses and just titer them up. And that can be something that you can use to help kill off or keep the infection at bay while you're constantly working on boosting the immune system. And just look at what the immune system needs. It needs five basics. It needs rest and restoration, so that's good, healthy sleep. It needs to be fed properly as far as antioxidants, and that's fruits and vegetables and antioxidant supplements, and healthy activity and making sure that the baby is eating properly is very, very important. So it's important for mom to get healthy activity as well to push the lymph system and get things out. For baby, they can't move. So the mom or someone has to go in and do little baby lymph massage where you're actually doing that for them, massaging the abdomen and helping them with digestive function. Just think of everything is compromised a little bit. So you have to help in all the processes of digesting the food, eliminating the food, and then detoxifying from all of it.
Mm, wow, fascinating. And is it true? I was sure that I read stories of it passing between spouses. Can you transfer Lyme that way?
Well, you can transfer through saliva some co-infection. So they do see that more and more now, and they actually know that there's more incidences of Lyme. Now, it's not that common. I will say that. So everyone who has Lyme is not going to transmit it to their spouse. But there are other ways we can start to get tick-borne illnesses other than just the deer tick and the Lyme.
Wow.
So we're starting to really see more and more areas of where it's being measured. And there's some testing now where they're starting to check for Lyme DNA in tissue. And that's a much better way to actually find out if you have a Lyme-borne disease or disorder.
Hmm. Wow. All right, well, let's grab Anna from Madison before we take our final break here. Hey, Anna, thanks for holding. You're on the air with Dr. Troy.
Hi, how are you?
Well, good to have you.
Good, thank you. I find you such a pleasure, Susie. I feel like you're my best friend in my head. I was calling because I recently had an ultrasound, and they found a polyp on my gallbladder that's about 5 mm. And I was just wondering if you had, Dr. Troy, had any thoughts or advice on what I should do?
Well, it kind of depends on where the polyp is. Are they recommending surgery, or what are they recommending?
My doctor said that maybe we should just wait 6 months and have another ultrasound. Other than that, she would recommend me to another doctor who would probably take my gallbladder out to see if it's benign.
Okay, so I like your doctor, number one. So I think that's great advice. And so this gives you 6 months to work on improving gallbladder health. And so getting the polyp rechecked is very much needed. And what you can do to help with gallbladder health is they do have what's called gallbladder flushes. It's all about getting your bile moving. And so doing that under the watchful eye of a practitioner who knows how to take you through is important, because if you have any gallstones, which they may have caught with the ultrasound, but if you have gallstones and you do a gallbladder flush, sometimes the stones can get stuck, although in 20 years I've not actually seen that, but it's theoretically possible, in which case then you'd have to go in and get gallbladder removal surgery right away. But doing a gallbladder flush is very important. The second thing is gallbladder bile becomes thickened for a couple main reasons. Number one is fried and fatty food. If you're having any fried or fatty food, then pulling that out of your diet is very, very important. The second part is doing estrogen cleanses. Estrogen will toxify or congest the bile system in the liver. So there's a lot of foods out there that will thin the bile, like apples and apple juice actually helps to thin the bile. And so if you eat a bile-thinning program, which is mostly the fruits with lemon juice and lemon water every morning, that helps quite a bit as well. And then doing an estrogen detox. There's one out there called Estrium that I love to use that helps quite a bit. And that can help a lot with pulling out of estrogens. And like I was talking about earlier in the show, if there's any level of constipation or bowels not moving, it's important to make sure the bowels are moving so you're not recycling the estrogens. And then chemicals that mimic estrogen, like pesticides and certain plastics and exposures to different chemicals, can also interfere with the gallbladder issues. And here in Minnesota, we have the highest rate of gallbladder removal in the country. And it's a lot. It has a lot to do with the different areas that are in Minnesota here, as far as what we're exposed to in the Twin Cities, I should say, not in the entire state of Minnesota, but in Minneapolis, St. Paul. And so it's because of the different plants that we have in the four corners of our cities here that we are exposed to a lot of that in our water systems. And we have the second most golf courses per capita in the country, only second to Florida. And unfortunately, I'm a golfer. I'm not saying unfortunately I'm a golfer, but unfortunately, if you've seen my game, that might make more sense. But unfortunately, golf courses have a lot of chemicals that leach into our water system. And so it's very, very much that's a big part of where we get exposed to most of our pesticides and chemicals is through golf courses in Minnesota.
Wow. Anna, thank you so
much.
Would
that have anything? Thank you so much. Mm-hmm. I appreciate it.
Did you want to have a quick
follow-up? Oh, I just had a quick question. Would that have anything to do with me having a fatty liver, too?
Yeah, it's called non-alcoholic fatty liver disease. That's exactly right. So, and if that, if they've already diagnosed that and triglycerides are high, then you have to make sure you stay to 100 grams of carbs a day and make sure you're also consuming 3 grams of fish oil.
Mm. All right.
Fish oil. Okay. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Thank you, Anna. We're going to pause here for our last break. And I, Frank, if you're still holding on the other side, we'll grab that call. 877-933-2484. We'll probably only be able to take one, maybe two more calls. I do have an announcement to make on the other side of the break, so hope you'll stay tuned for that. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to Dr. Troy Spurl of Synapse Center for Health and Healing. And we so appreciate your calls. We'll be back here in a minute.
Everything comes alive.
You're having a fantastic day. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. It is another edition of Health and Healing with Dr. Troy. Dr. Troy Spurl joins us every month. He's CEO and founder of Synapse Center for Health and Healing, located in Eagan, Minnesota. And we're going to take one more call here. Frank is checking in. He's been holding for a bit here, checking in from St. Paul. Hey, Frank, thanks for your patience, and you're on the air with Dr. Troy.
Thank you, Susie. I'm dealing with prostate issues. And I've heard that saw palmetto and nettle leaf are good for at least relieving, possibly shrinking a prostate. Do you know? Is that within your purview? Are there any natural healings that you know of in your area?
Yes, so that's true. It can be very helpful for prostate health. And then also zinc and zinc deficiency is very, very important. Copper excess with the zinc deficiency. So you have to pull the extra copper out and make sure you're taking plenty of zinc. And vitamin C helps with that process as well. So the saw palmetto, the zinc, and then the vitamin C. And then just making sure that you do your best when it comes to the acidity of your body. So if we're really acidic, then that can affect it as well. And strangely enough, a lot of times what I just talked about with the gallbladder scenario, estrogen toxicity in men will affect them in either the gallbladder area, like I just spoke about, or the prostate. So many times you have to do the exact same estrogen cleansing to help the prostate out, because there's a hormone conversion that occurs. And we start to see testosterone be impacted via estrogen excess. So many times you start with the saw palmetto, the zinc, get the vitamin C in there, work on doing a cleansing diet as far as acidity, which estrogen detox is an alkalizing diet. So that pulling the estrogens out are very, very crucial for most people, men have prostates, most men with prostate scenarios. And so we've seen significant shrinking of the enlarged prostates with that. So it's quite effective,
okay,
actually.
And estrogen, okay, I'm sorry, I wasn't listening that close to the previous caller, unfortunately.
Okay.
Could you?
So estrogen estrogen cleansing is something, there's one I like called Estrium, and there's a diet that comes with it. And if I know there's some books out there that talk about estrogen cleansing. Now, they're made mostly for women, but men will do quite well with this to help their gallbladder health and bile health. And it's a very clean diet, a lot of greens, making sure the bowels are moving multiple times a day to pull out the extra estrogens. And then there's different, there's a supplement or a shake that you take that helps the liver get rid of the estrogens. And this will help the not only the gallbladder and bile system, but also the prostate in men.
How can he learn? Is there a place he can Google to kind of get that lineup of
if
what
you
he
Google
can do, diet
Estrium,
supplement?
That's probably it's a Metagenics product, so I think you have to order it just through a doc. Only doctors can order it, but mm-hmm. It'll at least give you the diet as far as the diet that goes with it, but the it's ESTRIUM. It's the one I like to use.
And could he order that through Synapse? I mean, because you have to get it through a provider,
yeah,
right?
He could, yeah. Along with the dietary stuff, but they would collect some information from him, of course.
Very good. Well, Frank, thanks so much for that call. Almost called you Frankie because we had Frenchie call earlier, but I know your name's Frank, so thank you for that. And we're going to pause. Thank you, Frank. Good to talk with you. We're going to pause here just with a few minutes left of the show to let you know that my time at Faith Radio has come to a close. And I want you to know this was one of the most difficult decisions I've ever made, with much prayer, fasting, processing with doctors and friends and family. And but it's a difficult one, but it's the right one. And I just know that I need a different pace. But I got to tell you, I'm so excited about my future. Want you to know we'll be launching a podcast in the future with some video interviews. And so this won't be the last you hear of Dr. Troy. I know so many of you appreciate him so much. In fact, we're prayerfully planning an event or two at his clinic where we'll have a live studio audience. And we'll, of course, have a limited number that we can have there. But all of that information will be on my website. Actually, it'll be in my newsletter. So this is the way you can keep up. You also keep up on Synapse's website. What is it? OfficialSynapse.com. Is that right?
That's correct.
Yeah. OfficialSynapse.com. You want to go there. On my website, SusieLarson.com, on the homepage, it says sign up for Susie's newsletter. That's probably the best way to keep up with this, because this is all in the works and it's in process. So I don't have a definitive date, but we're super excited about launching this podcast. As I said, some video interviews. And we hope to do a video interview with a live studio audience at Doc's clinic, and lots of fun guests that we're lining up. My last day is not today. It's a week from today, next Thursday. And we'll be taking calls that second hour. Just hope to chat with you. I've honestly cried a lot of tears around this because I love and appreciate you. You've loved coming to work every single day. But I also want to give a shout out to my good friend, Dr. Troy, for the way he's invested for the last couple of years in your life. And so, Dr. Troy, thank you for what you've done in my health, but also how you've impacted the health of so many when you join us every month. Thank you for that.
Well, thank you, Susie. God bless you. And I just want to say thank you to you, but also everyone here at Faith Radio. They've just been absolutely amazing, every part of your program and everything. Mm-hmm. I've been in awe the whole time, and it's very easy to be here with you all. So I want to thank you and all of Faith Radio. They've been absolutely amazing, a blessing to me and my entire team.
Hmm. Well, you know, the team behind the scenes, and this would be the same for you as well. You're the face up front, and I may be the voice up front, but we both have teams behind the scenes that are bar none and stellar. Wouldn't you say? I mean, you come to the studio, everybody greets you, loves you, and I come to the clinic, and it's the same. People are working so hard behind the scenes. So it's like maybe one face that looks like the face, but boy, there are hard workers behind the scenes, and what an honor it is on both sides.
Yeah, agreed.
Well, if you have questions, you can email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Again, my last day will be next Thursday. I'll miss you so, so very much, but I do want to keep up with you. So if you want to keep up with me and what's going on and how you can catch podcasts, easy to do that on a smartphone or online, hop to my website, SusieLarson.com. And on that homepage, it just says sign up for Susie's newsletter. You'll hear more next week about the plans for this time slot. But as we get ready to wrap, I'd love to pray a blessing on my friend, Dr. Troy. Lord, I just thank you so much for Dr. Troy, for Christine, for the whole Synapse team. These are passionate people about health, and I pray you pour out your spirit in a fresh, fresh new way. I pray that you give them answers to the questions that they're asking. I pray, just as Dr. Troy talks about, that answers would come out of nowhere and everywhere, and that people, they would have miraculous testimonies that come out of this clinic. I ask you to strengthen his team, working so, so hard behind the scenes. I ask you to expand their territory from the left to the right, north to south, east and west, and bring them the staff and the help that they need. And I just pray for a wave of healing across this land for those who deal with chronic illnesses. I'm believing it with all my heart that many who are depressed will be delivered. Those who are sick will be made well. And we will run and dance again and be thrilled at what you've done in our lives, Lord. We love you so very much. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you for joining us today, Doc.
My pleasure.
You've been listening to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson. In a bit, you'll find a podcast of today's program up on our website at myfaithradio.com. And remember this, the Lord wants you to last long and finish strong. He is the one who'll keep you strong to the end. Have a really great day. Thanks for listening to this conversation from Live the Promise. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can make a gift now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link with a friend. Help grow the impact of the show. Also, if you would, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player, and then never miss a show.